My name is Angela Johnson, and I'm with My Brother's Keeper, and we have no financial disclosures to address today. What I am going to talk to you briefly about today, because I know that we do have to be mindful of time, is a project that we are initiating or implementing at My Brother's Keeper Incorporated. And just to tell you a little bit about My Brother's Keeper, we are a nonprofit organization. We're based in Jackson, Mississippi, actually Ridgeland, which is right next door to Jackson, Mississippi, and we are funded with this project through CDC, the Office of Minority Health and Health Disparities. And with this project, the abstract that we are talking about today is the African American Women and Health Disparities, Exploring the Etiology and Using Cultural Competence as a Possible Deterrent. And this abstract was based on a skills building course, and the purpose of the course was to gauge the awareness of culture in the community as far as how providers address the issue of culture and how African Americans seek and receive health care. So what we are talking about today is the skills building course called African American Cultural Competence to Eliminate Health Disparities. The issues that we address in this course are: African American women are more likely than white women to disproportionately suffer from chronic disease and mortality. And we hear a lot about chronic diseases and mortality and how African Americans are on the top of the list when we're addressing those mortalities and those diseases. We also talk about cultural barriers and how they contribute to this phenomenon, and preventing African American women from seeking needed services and practicing preventive techniques. So we wanted to look at how cultural barriers also inhibit African Americans from seeking and receiving health adequate and equitable health care. And we looked at the indicators of socioeconomic status, including low educational attainment due to cultural differences, and how these create health disparities that affect African American women specifically. We also know that African Americans are far more likely to rely on hospitals or clinics instead of personal physicians for their usual source of care at 16% than are white Americans at 8%. And this is important when we're talking about culture, because it is important that those persons or providers who are providing care to African Americans understand how culture is related, because we know that African Americans are more likely to visit the emergency room than a provider. And so it is important that we educate those people who are, or those providers in the emergency rooms, on the cultural aspects. We looked at some of the barriers to healthcare. We know that money is a barrier in many aspects. We looked at the structural barriers, those things that are going on within the four walls of the providers. We looked at some of the informational barriers. Is the information that we are putting out to the African American community something that's advantageous? Are they really looking at it? Are the pamphlets that we work so hard on getting out to the community, are those pamphlets representative of the population that we're trying to reach, and in this case, the African American population? Because we know that if it's not linguistically appropriate, then we're not going to look at it. And we know that when we are being funded through grants, we want to make sure that we're using our funds in the most appropriate way. And so we talk about some of these things in the skills building class to make sure that the information that you're presenting to your population, the African American population, is the information that is going to be used. And then we looked at some individual and cultural barriers, because sometimes it is the African American individually that is it's maybe its own worst, their own worst enemy, or our worst own worst enemy, because if it's if we're in a rural community and the only provider is a male physician, then we, our culture may not be a proponent for seeking care from that physician. And so that's an individual or a cultural barrier that we also look at in this course. Now, the course is a one-day interactive skills building course, and we do say interactive. We are the facilitators. What we do is we bring to the table providers as well as laypersons, the people who are receiving the health care, and we try to open the dialogue. We try to foster communication between the providers and the patients, and to look at some of the things like culture that may be not that may be inhibiting the provider as well as the patient from receiving the from the best healthcare service and receiving the best healthcare. And it's based on the cultural competence continuum that ranges from cultural destructiveness to cultural proficiency, and we'll talk about that. The objectives of the course are to provide healthcare workers with the necessary skills needed to recognize health-related beliefs and practices of African Americans and to improve the quality of services delivered. We also wanted to understand the vital role that cultural competence plays in reducing healthcare disparities among African Americans. We talked a lot about defining culture as the institutions of racial, ethnic, religious, or social groups. And we also know that there is a subculture within the African-American culture. So this specific course is not based just for non-African-Americans, but also for African-American providers, so that they too can understand the subculture that exists within the African-American culture. We talked about thoughts, communications, actions, customs, beliefs, and values within the African-American community and how these play a part in how we seek and receive healthcare. We defined cultural competence as a set of congruent behaviors, attitudes, and policies that come together to enable healthcare providers to work effectively to cross-cultural situations. Now, the justification for this course and cultural competence in general is that the perception of illness and disease, the illness and disease and their causes vary by culture, and we know that that is the case, not only in the African American culture, but in all cultures, the perception of illness and diseases vary. Cultural influences, health-seeking behaviors, and attitudes toward healthcare providers, and healthcare providers from culturally and linguistically diverse groups are underrepresented, I just mentioned that before, in the current service delivery system. When African Americans seek healthcare, it is more likely that they would come in contact with a physician or a provider that does not look like them, and so it is important that we educate on both sides of the chair, the provider and the patient, on how to represent that particular population adequately. Now, some of the assumptions that we found out in the class is that providers, according to the clients, assume that the clients are, well, the providers assume that the clients are uneducated, first of all, and that they, African Americans, don't care about their health, because if they did, with all the information that's out there, then they would take advantage of it. And that sometimes the providers can assume that African Americans are lazy. Now, on the client side, what we found out is that the clients have a distrust in the provider community, that they feel like they're going to be used as guinea pigs, that they don't care about, that the provider doesn't care about the patient's health, and that they don't understand the challenges in the African-American life. And so the purpose of this abstract and this study, this course, was to bring them both to the table so that we can open the dialogue of communication to dismiss some of these misconceptions. The cultural competence continuum is what we focused on to increase the awareness of cultural competence, and it goes from cultural destructiveness all the way up the ladder to cultural proficiency, and I'll go through that quickly. With cultural incapacity, we know that an individual or organization lacks the capacity, the ability to respond to different groups, but this is not intentional. They just don't have the skills to respond adequately. Ignorance and unfounded fear are often the underpinnings of the problem. Not understanding the African American community can sometimes mean that we will just dismiss it as providers. And failure to recognize when mistreatment is due to cultural differences and thereby perpetuating its occurrence. And those are all aspects of cultural incapacity. Moving up the ladder is cultural blindness, and this is when we ignore cultural differences. Individuals perceive themselves as unbiased. We all treat our patients the same, but we know that that's not necessarily the case. Even though we have the best intentions, we do have to recognize that culture is important when providing health care. Because they feel that culture makes no difference in the way a person or group acts or reacts. We foster the assumption that we are basically alike, so what works with members of one group will work with all groups, and we know that that's not the case. We've tried to put canned prescriptions out for individuals of different groups, and we know that that doesn't work. Cultural pre-competence implies movement toward cultural sensitivity. We're not quite yet at being culturally competent, but we're aware. We know that we have some issues. We know that we need to address culture in our organization. The active pursuit of knowledge about cultural differences and the attempt to integrate this information into the delivery of healthcare services. So we are going to make sure the providers that we have pictures that look like the African Americans when they walk into the clinic, that they're not just represented with or bombarded with photos or brochures or pamphlets that don't represent African Americans. Because if African Americans don't see their faces on different media, then they're going to assume that the services that you're providing are not for them. Learning and understanding of new ideas is encouraged in this part of the curriculum or the continuum, and along with solutions to improve performance or services. Now, with cultural competence, the capacity to function in an effective manner within the context of the targeted group, we're accepting and respecting differences, and we're continuing our self-assessment because we know that the way we feel about our traditions and our world that we live in can sometimes carry over to how we provide treatment to others who are not part of our culture. And we actively seek advice and consultation regarding different cultures. When we are culturally proficient, culture is held in a very high esteem in organizations. Cultural differences are regarded proactively. We improve cultural relations among diverse groups, and they are promoted. Healthcare providers are regarded as specialists in developing cultural sensitivity. So the difference between being culturally competent, which is what we want, we are striving to be proficient, which means that we are specialists in this field, and we are encouraging and promoting and not accepting anything less than being culturally competent. After this course, we delivered the course, first of all, to 68 community health organizations, and we reached 174 participants nationwide. 85% of the participants strongly agree that they had learned new skills, so they had learned something new about the African-American culture prior to what they already knew coming in. 80% of the participants strongly agree that their awareness about cultural competence had increased specifically due to this cultural competence course. And 87.5% of the participants strongly agree that they could apply the cultural competence skills within the next 3 months. And that was the focus of the course, to not only increase the skills, but to go back and apply these skills, these newly learned skills, in the community and in the organizations. What we've done is we've recommended, by using this cultural competence continuum, we found that that's the best way, because we know that just taking a course is not going to make you culturally competent, but if you strive through the continuum, if you promote the continuum, the developmental process will build cultural competence, and we recommend that as one of the most effective ways to increase cultural competence among healthcare providers. If there are any questions, I'll be happy to take them at this time. The question was, does the course include content about sexual orientation? And yes, it does. Although we focus on the African American culture, that is a part of the African American culture because, as I mentioned, we have subcultures within the African American culture, and sexual orientation is one of the things that we talk about as well.
It struck me when we were looking at some of the assumptions from the perspective of the provider that some of those assumptions mean less about a cultural mismatch and more about race ideology. And I'm wondering, to what extent does a cultural competent framework really capture what happens in a healthcare setting, or maybe not capture what's going on in a healthcare setting with maybe an anti-oppression or white privilege perspective type of training might capture instead?
Let me try to summarize the question, and you correct me if I'm wrong. What role does race, or how do we address race when we're talking about cultural competence, or is that a part of?
I guess more that I'll just say it loud so you
okay.
Can repeat it to everyone. That looking at some of those assumptions, like I saw those assumptions right on the part of the provider. in some ways, that might provide evidence if there's some kind of cultural mismatch here that would lead to wanting to do cultural competency training.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those provider comments seem more about racist ideology,
mm-hmm.
not a Eurocentric culture mismatching with an Afrocentric culture, for example, but rather racist ideology. And
that's a good question.
Related to this, right, that cultural competency, cultural sensitivity training,
mm-hmm. Definitely. We come across that all the time. And cultural competence is such a broad umbrella, and so many things fall under cultural competence. As you mentioned, the aspect of race and the racist ideology, and there are so many things that fall under that. But with this course, we try to address as many of the issues as we can. And we know that there are a lot of assumptions on the provider side and a lot of assumptions on the patient side. But the key is that what we try to do is open dialogue and get questions that you're asking on the table so that they can be addressed before. All the misconceptions, all of the everything that falls under that umbrella, we try to address it as much as possible. It's a one-day course and there's not much, you know, there are a lot of things that go unaddressed, but, you know, we try to address as many things as we can, and that's one of the things we try to address.
I'm hoping to allow maybe at least 10, maybe more, 10 minutes at the end, because I think this discussion is rich, and I hope that we can continue this. I would like to introduce Dr. Donna Odierna. She is from the University of California, San Francisco, the Philip R. Lee Institute for Health Policy Studies, and the Department of Clinical Pharmacy.